DW.
I think it's something that happens with the transplant. I got a part of Handy. And I think I got more of Handy than just, an organ.
Some years ago, I met two women who shared a liver. One had donated 60% of hers to the other. Both had survived. And when they showed their scars, they joked that they were in the shape of a Mercedes symbol. But behind their laughter were stories of a desperate cry for help and incredible human generosity. I came away from meeting them knowing that though I was unlikely to become a living donor, I should at least offer up my organs when I no longer need them. Yet the furthest I've got is the bone marrow register. Why? Good question, for which all I have by way of answers are concerns about post-death German bureaucracy, coupled with an objection to its stuffy burial laws, and a very large dose of just not getting around to it. They're not very good excuses, really. And I really don't excuse them. Not only because I actually like the thought that parts of my body could be of use to others when they're no longer of any to me, but because according to the German Organ Transplantation Foundation, the national waiting list currently stretches to 10,000 patients. Ideally, there'd be enough people who don't procrastinate over such life and death matters to render an opt-out system, as suggested by Health Minister Jens Spahn this week, unnecessary. But since we don't seem to live in an ideal world, and there are currently only around 10 donors per million residents, I, for one, welcome it.
December 2012,
as does Lisa Böke, a 16-year-old who, having been diagnosed with a manageable heart condition in 2012, found herself on the waiting list for a transplant 3 years later.
Da mein altes Herz vergrößert war, war in meinem Körper.
Because her blood type is fairly common, she says, and because the enlarged nature of her old heart meant her body could accommodate an adult organ, she was in the rare position of only having to wait 6 weeks for her life-saving operation. Her body accepted the transplant, and she now runs and cycles and leads the life of any other 16-year-old, albeit with what she calls an indescribable debt of gratitude, one she tries to repay by raising awareness of the need for more donors. Having watched a teenage friend of hers run out of time on the waiting list for a new heart, she would welcome an opt-out system. She sees no disadvantage, because those who don't like it don't have to donate, while those who want to could save as many as 8 lives, and not getting around to filling out a donor card would no longer stand in the way. Mathematically, the adoption of a system that would add non-opposed dawdlers like myself into the pool of potential donors must surely be a positive. Yet predictably, there have been cries from some quarters that a less free-floating approach to the issue would be unethical and mean we could no longer talk in terms of donations. Looking beyond the semantics, there is, says Dr. Felix Schönrad, cardiologist at the German Heart Center Berlin, perhaps even some ethical value in an opt-out system. As things stand, he says, because many people don't clearly formulate their wishes while alive, the question of whether or not to donate often ultimately falls to their relatives, leaving them to make a very difficult decision in their darkest hour. And asking people to opt out would also push them to engage with the issue. And that can only make sense, given that the unimaginable never happens to you or anyone you know until it does. I still doubt I'd ever offer a large chunk of my liver to a relative stranger, but regardless of how this particular debate unfolds, I've now filled out my organ donor card, and about time too.
This report was brought to you by DW.